Wave your hands to Jesus. Let's give him all the praise. Wave it to Jesus and tell him, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your power. Is someone thanking the Lord?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
Sing it one more time from the depth of your heart.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul,
and worship.
Worship.
Father, bless us tonight. Let our lives be changed. Let our lives be transformed. For the Bible declares that the Lord is that Spirit. And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it says, we all with faces unveiled, we are changed into the image of God from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Ask him for a visitation tonight. Father, give me an encounter tonight. Give me an encounter by your Spirit. Let my life change. Bring a turnaround to my destiny. Open my eyes. Let light come from heaven. Let all prison doors be opened. Let it be a new face for me. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. That which God has in store for you will not pass you by in Jesus' name. Father, help us tonight. We have come to learn. We have come to grow. We have come to be built. Spirit of the living God, we submit to your wisdom. And we pray that you open up the bread of life unto us. In Jesus' name, I pray. God bless you. Please be seated. Good evening, everybody. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Many things happen in the house of the Lord. Encounters happen in the house of the Lord. Transformation happens in the house of the Lord. Empowerment, fellowship, illumination, wisdom. Ignorance is driven out like smoke before the wind in the presence of the Lord. And tonight will be no different in the name of Jesus. I honor and appreciate everyone, global family connecting all across the globe. You're welcome. Your life will never be the same in Jesus' name. I just want to honor and bless a very dear and wonderful man of God, Pastor Edward, all the way from Enugu, House on the Rock. Please, let's bless him. Hallelujah. Such a phenomenal man of God. He is a description of what the Bible calls an honorable man. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate your presence. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Striving for Mastery, Part 2. Amen. We started Part 1, but had to sacrifice it for the Easter celebration service and then the miracle service, but now we have to resume And please pay attention tonight, because your life will never be the same. You see, the word koinonia, in fact, let me start this with 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, please. Let's start on this note tonight. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth, and this is what he said. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How many of you? Not some. Be with you all. The word communion is where we get the word koinonia. It's a Greek word. It means communion. It means fellowship. It means sharing together. It means participation. Like two people drinking from the same vessel. So he's saying, among the many things that must be with you all is what he calls the communion of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship. Hallelujah. And fellowship with the Holy Spirit is in two dimensions. There is what we call intimacy. Intimacy means that you get to know him and everything that he brings as of the Father. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit's primary assignment is to be able to guide us into the truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Are we learning tonight? And then the other side of koinonia is what we call partnership. Partnership means you and the Spirit of God together doing exploits for the kingdom, and the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. And so every time you come, this is koinonia. It's not just the name of a ministry or the name of a program. It's an attempt to describe the experience that awaits you for every time you appear before the Lord. Hallelujah. Communion that comes through the word, and communion that comes through the corporate fellowship of the brethren. And when we break bread, to break bread there does not just mean to break physical bread like the Holy Communion, even though that is profitable, but to break that word. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. This is what they continued doing until they became mighty men. So for every service, please, you must understand that you are not just being part of a vision or coming to honor the ritual of spirituality. Every encounter with Jesus on this mountain is adding, number one, to your spiritual development. Number two is giving God a chance in your life to evolve you into the version that will literally be a sign and a wonder. When they saw the unlearned apostles, now when they were disciples, and they saw the other version of them, the Bible says they remembered that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Striving for Mastery is a series that came by the Spirit of God to help us rise to levels of excellence in the Spirit. The goal of the series is to open us up to the systems of the kingdom, to help us know that a possibility exists in the life and the journey of a believer where you rise from being a babe, an amateur in spiritual things. You can gain stature. You can have power with God. You can command victory perpetually through knowledge. The series hopes to drive away guesswork and shadow boxing to our Christian experience so that you can lay hold on eternal life, like the Bible says. Hallelujah. It says, I have fought the fight of faith. I have laid hold to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life, not just to assume it. There are many believers who love Jesus sincerely, but when it has to do with our faith walk and that which concerns our lives and our destinies, I submit to you that most believers are confused and at best just guessing their way through life in hope that they will walk in compliance with a few principles And for many of us, the only index that we use to measure progress is financial well-being. And as important as that is, the moment an individual finds out that he is doing well financially, he is deceived to assume that everything is all right. And so most people do not have the hunger and the drive again. Because in truth, money can help you do a lot of things. And in that supposed accomplishment, you can forget that there are other weightier matters in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Striving for mastery. Let's look at our text, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. This is part 2. In fact, let me arrange it properly. You can arrange it in your notes and media. Please, let's work together so we arrange it. Let's call part 1 the foundation. We took out time. I know that is part 1 is about 2 or 3 weeks old, but I'll do a quick recap. Hallelujah. We laid a foundation in part 1, helping us understand the spirituality of life. When I began, we were talking about the fact that life and living is spiritual. You don't have to be a Christian, you just have to be alive. It's a fact you will one day be forced to realize. It has nothing to do with the bias of faith. It is a fact that the realm of the spirit controls the physical realm. The realm of the spirit governs the physical realm. That means all that you see is not all that there is. Everything physical was derived. There is nothing physical that was original. Everything physical was derived from a level and a dimension that was out of this three-dimensional realm. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were made are seen were not made of the things which do appear. They were not made with material and physical things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, Paul again speaking to the church in Corinth, 4:18, 2 Corinthians, while we look not at the things which are seen, Paul categorizes realities into two, that there are things that are seen, but that there are things that are not seen. And he shows the disparity in quality, that the things that are seen, that means the things that are physical, are even temporal. And the things that are unseen are eternal or long-lasting. Right? So we took our time to set that foundation straight, that life is spiritual. You cannot understand the subject of mastery until you first and foremost understand the spirituality of life. Unfortunately, believers seem to be latecomers in this concept. Traditionalists know that life is spiritual. Most, religions across the world, they honor very vocally the spirituality of life. They know that your strength is derived from your fraternity with a deity that is beyond this three-dimensional realm. But now, when it has to do with believers, sometimes because of philosophy or education and all of these things, it seems to take us a long time before we come into the realization that no matter how educated, how enlightened, how philosophical you are, the truth still remains the truth. Life is spiritual, more than sociological, more than the logic of physical laws. Life is spiritual. Hallelujah. Then we began to discuss a few keys that would help us to gain mastery. Number one, we spoke about the ministry of prayer. This is a quick recap of part one. The ministry of prayer. Jesus himself, showing us how to live a life of mastery and excellence, emphasized on the need for a robust and a healthy prayer life. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, he spake this parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the apostle was teaching the church in Thessalonica and he said, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean pray from morning till night. It means be consistent in your prayer life. Are we learning? Yes. that a lot, as far as the victory of the believer is concerned, a lot, a major part of your victory and your excelling in this life depends on the health and the quality of your prayer life. No matter how well-meaning, well-intentioned you are as a believer, if there is a bankruptcy of fire upon your prayer altar, it will translate into a life of perpetual defeat. Please don't forget this. Let me repeat again. That if your life is bankrupt of fire upon your altar, I guarantee you, no matter what is working in your life now, it is only temporal. When your prayer life goes down, it's a matter of time. Every other thing in your life will start reporting that absence of a healthy prayer life. Hallelujah. Even Jesus prayed, and he said all men should pray. He taught his disciples to pray. The early church, they met, and part of the many things, like we read earlier in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says there was a little argument between the Grecian women and all of that as to the matters of serving tables. And the apostle said, do not come and distract us. You get people who we can put in charge of the welfare, but as far as we are concerned, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Please keep it there, media. To prayer and to the ministry of the word. I did teach us when we considered part one that there are many dimensions to prayer. Please place your hand on your chest. I'm seeing. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of death, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, right now I decree and declare, in the name of Jesus, I just saw a family weeping that someone just died, and this is what I want to cancel. Place your hand on your chest. I decree and declare right now, every influence of death, please pray in 1 minute, be broken. Be broken. Be broken. Be broken. Shaparauskatia. Everywhere across the death, the globe, the spirit of death, we attack you. Every one of our people is covered now, covered by the blood. On the road, covered by the blood. In the air, covered by the blood. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. One more time. Sing from your heart. You shall not die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Just allow me to do my thing. 2-3 minutes, we'll get back to the word. See, one of the things about the prophetic is that if God reveals a thing and you don't respond, it can cost somebody their life at that point. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm seeing a writing on the ground, and I'm seeing the word restoration. Now, please listen. I know that everybody will say amen. But there are 18 people inside here and outside this prophetic word. One of the reasons why God brought you to service is because there is this plague that makes you keep losing things. Losing things. You have lost as individuals. You have lost money. You have lost opportunities. But my God is saying restoration. That anointing. 18 people. I stretch my hands right now. The power of God will come upon those 18 people. And in a very strange way, the things that have left you will begin to return. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now therefore I declare by the power of the living God, everyone among the 18 people that I see that the hand of God should come upon, I declare, receive that impartation now. Help them. Receive that impartation now. Receive that impartation now. For someone, last year they relieved you of a job. Believe me when I tell you, they are about to call you back. It's a spiritual issue. Help them. It's not the issue of incompetence. Help them, please. My God, are you helping them so they don't injure themselves? In the name of Jesus, everyone who manipulated the realm of the spirit for them to have relieved you, I stand by the God of heaven and I declare, before this week comes to an end, let there be a strange restoration. The Lord is showing me somebody. You are not here, but you are having breathing problems. You know how it used to be for COVID patients, but this is not COVID. This is the spirit of death that wants to take that man. He's a father in a family. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of the eternal covenant, wherever you are, whether you are watching here or connecting across the globe, in the name of Jesus, we preserve your life now. We preserve your life. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. You can take... Okay, this is fine. We must learn to be sensitive to spiritual things. A spiritual man is not just one who prays and studies scripture, but you must train your organs of interacting with the realm of the spirit so that you can pick signals to know. Because one response can save a person, a family. Hallelujah. Bring the two people who start running out under the anointing now. Just hold them, guide them, and bring them here. I want to prophesy to them. I just saw an eagle. When God speaks like that, it's because there is a grace.
I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I am under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I am under the shadow of your wings.
Please bring them.
Your influence is all over me. Yeah, I, yeah, yeah, I, yeah, yeah.
Shabalagada prandagada baladada.
I am victorious. I have overcome. I am victorious. I have overcome. I am victorious.
This woman, stand up, please. Madam, the woman at the back of this man wearing glasses, please tap that woman for me. Stand up. Lift your hands where you are, madam. I just saw oil being poured on you. In the name of Jesus, I release you to a new level. That these challenges that have plagued your life and your family, they come to an end now. Just be patient. We're getting back to the word. Am I wasting your time? Whatever shut the ears of your destiny helper so that they don't hear when the Spirit beckons on them in the name of Jesus. Again, I'm seeing 11 people. I know that this prayer is for everybody, but by the Spirit of the living God, 11 people, the ministry of destiny helpers have been long overdue. By the anointing of the Spirit of God, I release, help them please. Please, whether you're an usher or not, just help them so that
I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I am under the shadow of your wings. I am under the shadow of your wings.
Hallelujah. Now I'm seeing the number 7. There are many of you, listen carefully, listen carefully, listen carefully. There were many dimensions you once touched in the realm of the spirit, but I don't know what happened to your spiritual life and you lost that dimension. Some of you prophetic dreams, some of you revelations, some of you gave, God gave you the eyes that sees. Nothing happens above you that you do not see, but you lost it like the hair of Samson. And the Lord, I know it's restoration, but this is, it's like a restoration of mantles and dimensions, faces, gates that were closed over you spiritually. I stretch my hands right now in the name of Jesus. All those who this prophetic word is for, by the Spirit of God, may that fire rest upon you now. May that fire apakato shekete balata. Bende gabarato skadia. At the scent of water. That's what I'm hearing. At the scent of water. 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 The water of the word. Oh, fire is burning here. At the scent of water. A restoration is happening to your spiritual experiences. God is revisiting you again. Ladies, gentlemen, all together, revisiting you. Woe betides a man in this end time who loses his ability to see, his ability to hear, his ability to perceive. You will be like a dead man in the spirit. Hallelujah. Please don't be tired. The Lord is ministering to me. Hear me. Don't feel offended by what I'm saying. I'm just speaking as I'm directed. There are many of you here. There are people in your life that the devil is going to use to destroy you, but God wants to bring that separation now. For some of them, they don't look like it, but just believe what I'm telling you. Among the people within your circle, there are people that the devil has planted seeds, and if you are not sensitive, it will destroy you. In the name of Jesus, may the all-seeing eye of God reach into your destiny and begin to bring separation. Mysterious separations by the Spirit. Some of you, even though We are not declaring a corporate fast, but some of you after this meeting, don't be surprised when the Spirit of God gives you instructions. Wait upon Him 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Just obey as He comes, because there are things where, listen, we're in a season where sensitivity can mean the difference between life and death. Sensitivity can mean the difference between tapping into what God is doing for the next season or being carnally minded and then you remain grounded. Allow me pray for one group of people and then we'll get back to the teaching of the word. I've seen this many times. This is not the first time I'm seeing it. Where I will see a human being in the realm of the spirit and yet not see the head, or I'll see the head covered. I know that every time this happens, something is, the glory of a man is an unveiling of what God anointed you to do. And let me tell you, when your glory is covered, no matter what you do physically, you will never be able to rise. I want to release some people right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, even the Son of the Living God, whether by divination, by activities of witchcraft, everyone here under any kind of siege, where your glory, your productivity, the power of God, that which should announce you, has been hidden and covered. I decree and declare, be loose now. Please help them. Shapakatos kativa latosia. Be loose now. Be loose now. And for all those who are in front here, in the name of Jesus, I declare that which has come upon you from God and by God remains permanent. And that which is inconsistent with the word of God over your life, as you are free now, you are free forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Just help them up. Who is Victory? Victory. Is there someone with a name Victory? Not Victor, not Victoria, Victory. The Lord is telling me you are by my right at the back. This is what I'm seeing. Is there someone like that? Please verify. Your name is Victory, madam? Come. Victory. Where are you from? There's somebody running here. His name is... Oh, Victory. Okay, male and female. I want to pray for you. The way God is going to be lifting people in this house, bar, believe me. Except you see it by yourself, you will think it was stage managed. Believe me. The kind of mantles and graces that will be resting on people. You will see people changing levels in ways that even death themselves... I'm telling you this by the Spirit of God. Shalom, shalom. Jehovah, shalom. Shalom. You're welcome in this place. Shalom, shalom. Jehovah, shalom. My dear Victory, I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. In this season, even as God is revealing to me, may He visit your family. Amen. In a way that will surprise you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And the Lord is saying, I should prophesy to you, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old, that in this season He is doing a new thing in your life. And I declare that the grace that will cause what is being done in the realm of the Spirit to manifest, may that grace rest upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I sense that tonight as I teach, there will be so many impartations when it comes to you receive it by faith. Some of you is already on, because you see, I'm not the only one teaching. Mine is to declare, but the Holy Ghost will be moving from row to row. When he comes to you, don't act like he's not there. He will row by row, he will visit you. When he comes to you, it's like a roll call. His assignment is to take away anything that does not look like Christ and bring to your life everything that looks like Christ but is not in your life. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Please sit down. So I was talking about the ministry of prayer, that every believer must submit himself or herself to the ministry of prayer. That gentleman you are taking back, just turn him for me. My friend, look at me. Shout Jesus as loud as you can. Let that be the end of captivity in your life. In the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to pray. Say it again. In the name of Jesus, I receive grace to pray. Please hear me. The times that we live in are not times of pray for me. You must obtain grace from God to pray. There are times that Joshua Selman will not be there. When the gates stand, you must master the art of prayer in its entirety. I did teach you in part one of this series that prayer has four principal assignments in the life of the believer. I don't want to go into it, but you have to go back and listen very carefully and understand the dimensions of prayer. Let me do a quick recap. Number one, that the first assignment of prayer is for growth and transformation. When we engage in the ministry of prayer, it supplies the strength for growth and transformation. Number two, an avenue to make petitions and requests. The second assignment of prayer is that it provides an avenue to make petitions and requests. The Bible says that our requests be made known. Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. King James says, careful. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The third assignment of prayer, as revealed in Scripture, is for spiritual legislation. That means we create possibilities, we create realities. The Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power. I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a sound. We can create realities and possibilities through the power of prayer. And finally, the fourth dimension of prayer, as revealed in Scripture, is for warfare and intercession, to be able to ward off the arsenals of darkness that fight against our lives and our destinies. You must learn to pray. Key number two, and that's where we left off. I'll take it from there. The second key, if you want to contend for mastery, if you want your life to rise to a higher level of spiritual excellence, is understanding and engaging the laws and principles of the kingdom. This is a long one. Understanding and engaging the laws and the principles of the kingdom. The first key being prayer, if you intend to strive for mastery. The second key is that you must understand and engage. Two very important words. You can understand and fail to engage. You will still not get results. You need to understand, then obtain grace to engage the laws, L-A-W-S, and principles of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 52, Luke 11:52. It says, woe unto you lawyers. Jesus is angry now. For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourself, and them that were entering you hindered. Hallelujah. when it has to do with seeing the glory of God revealed in the life of a believer, please pay attention. There is always a part that you have to play. We have emphasized this, and I will continue to drum it in this house, that every kind of faith walk or Christian practice that makes the outcome of your life absolutely dependent on God without any participation or partnership on your own part and from your own end is inaccurate, is incomplete. When it has to do with your life and destiny, it is not all up to God and it is not all up to you. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6. Moses told the people that this is what the Lord had commanded that ye should do. He says, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. You want to see the appearance of the glory? Don't just wish for the glory. There are things to do. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses made two requests. Unfortunately, the body of Christ only pays attention to one. Exodus 33, the first request was in verse 13. Exodus 33 and verse 13. The first prayer request that Moses made was to know the ways of God. I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know you. That was the first prayer. Then the second prayer, 5 verses later, verse 18. He's now requesting, Moses now, in verse 18. I beseech you, show me your glory. So there is a relationship between his ways and his glory. Don't just ask for his glory. You must know his ways. Are we learning? So, discussing the laws, my apologies. We'll continue discussing the laws that we have. I gave us one law from the last time, part one. And I think that's where we end. The law of the sacrifice of total surrender. Still remember? Okay, write it down in case you didn't get it that time. We're dealing with laws now. In fact, you can call them laws of dominion. That's under part two now. So part one, you can call it the foundation. Part two, striving for mastery, in bracket or under the laws of dominion. The first law that I gave us in part one is the sacrifice of total me. Technical? Praise God. My apologies. Thank you. So the sacrifice of total surrender. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 14 and 15. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So that Jesus died for you, and in his mind, he believed that if you acknowledge or you recognize the depth of sacrifice he made for you, it will no longer be an inconvenience for you to also respond thus to him. You get what the scripture is saying now? That in his mind and in his thinking, he gave everything for you. First, because he loved you, but then in hope that if you really understand the extent of his sacrifice, you would also be able to make whatever sacrifice it takes. The sacrifice of total surrender. Most believers want to gain mastery. They want to command power with God. They want to excel at extraordinary levels, but they violate this first law. The first law of dominion, as far as gaining mastery is concerned, is absolute surrender. Not just what you do, who you are. You must assume a state and a posture in the spirit where your life is completely surrendered. I think I've said it in this house that
when you come forward to what we call giving your life to Christ, in reality, you are not giving your life to Christ when you come forward to be saved. You are receiving his life. Are we together? Because there's something wrong with that life. That's why you are coming for another one. Are we together? So when you really come to Christ, you are not necessarily, we just say it and we understand what we are saying. But from a theological standpoint now, the person about to be saved is not giving his life to Christ. He's receiving the life of Christ. Giving your life to Christ is an activity of surrender that prepares you for service. The Bible now demands that you give your life to Christ, if and when you are prepared to be used by God. So giving your life to Christ is an activity for mature believers who desire to be greatly used by God. Let me assure you, two of you can be believers in the same church, in the same place, but the possibilities that you command, among many factors, will depend on the degree to which you are surrendered. You will never be able to receive the same kind of result with a believer who is yielded and surrendered, if and when you are not. You can call the same name of Jesus, you can read the same Bible, it's the realm of the spirit that will tell you the difference. Paul, I know, surrendered. Jesus, I know, surrendered. Sons of Sceva, who are you? Hallelujah. The law of total surrender stems from the understanding that all that I am and all that I have belong to him, and that I must lose the ability to tell him no. These are the details that are captured when you are dealing with the subject of surrender. That any believer who has not lost the ability to tell God no is not truly yielded. You must consciously, as an act of your will, lose the ability to tell him no. Total obedience. If he says to go left, you go left. If he says to go right, now you go right. You see that? Trusting that the one who is giving you that instruction is not out to destroy you. So you can even blindly follow him, knowing that the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and an expected end. Most believers are not yielded. They come to God negotiating everything at their terms. They want the power of God at their terms. They want victory at their terms. They want an excelling life, a life of dominion at their terms. When you come to him, you die to self. I taught you that there are two things you must overcome to be great in life. One is sin. The second is self. If you are free from sin and you are not free from self, you will still suffer. You must be free from sin and free from self. Write it down. Don't forget that. Unbelievers have two problems: sin and self. Believers have the problem of self. And let me tell you this, with one confession of truth, the issue of sin is done by faith. But it does not take one confession to deal with self. When it has to do with self, it is I die daily. Is someone learning now? Yes. Sin, there's nothing you can do about it. It takes God to forgive you and cleanse you. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, it assures us that God is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But when it has to do with self, you die daily. Because there are many versions of that self you will not see now until you rise to a particular level. So you die level by level. You can think you are dead until promotion comes. You can think you are dead until trouble comes. Hallelujah. Everybody say the sacrifice of total surrender. So we took our time to pray, just laying everything down. Let me tell you this. When you surrender everything to God, therein lies true liberty in the spirit. Taking his place to maintain your life and maintain everything around your life would destroy you. You don't have that capacity. I believe that most medical conditions, especially that which is related to the mind, come from men and women who are trying to do the job of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. Can I tell you, it is burdensome to try to take the place of God in your life. You don't know how many things He does. If you try to step into that shoes, it's too big. Eternity will not even afford you the opportunity to fill that space. So hand over everything in your life to Him. My life is yours. Everything. The children you gave me, they are yours. The husband you gave me, he is yours. The wife you gave me, she is yours. The job you gave me, it belongs to you. You see, that way you save yourself the burden of ownership. And now the burden of stewardship is the one you can't handle. You cannot handle the burden of an owner. Because whoever owns is the one who sees to it that that process or that thing continues to remain. You don't have the power to make anything remain. You can only maintain what you are given. Hallelujah. Our world is full of people who continue to plunge into depression and stress because in their thinking, they believe that by worrying, they can add one cubit to their hair. And Jesus took a whole chapter to talk about the burden of worrying. He said, consider the lilies of the field. Consider the birds. They violate a major spiritual law. They do not sow and they do not reap. Yet your heavenly Father talks about Solomon, not even adorned like the lilies, the birds of the air. May the Lord help us to live truly surrendered lives. Many of you have given God everything except your finances. God can touch your heart, touch your praise and worship, touch everything, that's fine. But once it comes near your wallet, comes near your bank, you tell Him, go away. You don't know anything about finances. I was trained. And He says, okay, that's fine. Let me tell you, anything you drive God from, you automatically invited Satan into it. Anything. You drive God from your family and say, God, when you were in church, I will give you your own place. But now at home, Satan says, thank you. I've been looking for an opportunity to come. The absence of God is automatically the presence of evil. There are a few times in the Bible where Satan was invited. He's a master at barging into lives and destinies. Are we together? Surrender is a very powerful secret. Powerful kingdom secret. Now let's hurry up. The second spiritual law, we'll start from there now. I may not have the time to do all the teachings because I've taught some of them. There are just a few things that I want to achieve, and then we'll hopefully have the time to pray. Please open up your heart to learn. I beseech you in the name of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this. I don't mean to insult your pedigree, but I submit to you by the privilege of God's mercy that if you pay attention to the things that I teach you week in, week out, I give you a guarantee by the integrity of God, your life will be nothing short of a sign and a wonder. You may not look... No. Don't say amen. It's a commitment. It's a burden, a responsibility that you have to... Amen for the grace. Yes, you have it. But you must be committed to listen. Hallelujah. The truths that I share with you, number one, they are not my ideas, an invention of my mind. That would be evil and wicked. Number two, they are not vain babblings and philosophies of men. Believe me, the truths that I share with you, number one, they are scriptural. Number two, they are time-tested principles from scripture and in the life of uncommon mentors and successful people across the globe. You can rest in the fact that the spiritual menu you are receiving is not that which will destroy you. But it is up to you to open up your heart to receive holistically. Don't just cherry pick what you think is relevant. You see, your own assignment is not to tamper with the equation. Trust the one who has led me to prepare that spiritual meal and take it holistically. Most believers, sadly, especially those who do not yet have results or notable results, are usually the ones who tamper with the equations they are given. Are we together?
Yes.
So your heart must be open. We're not the first to succeed. We're not the first to rise. We're not the first to intend to do something that brings glory to the name of the Lord. Many have gone before us. There are still others before us. And the Bible says to follow them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. Law number two, the law of mental transformation. Let's hurry up now. I'll just touch on them very briefly and then we'll pray. Whoever told you that your mind does not have a role to play as far as gaining mastery is concerned. I shared with you my own experience that probably based on my background and the level of spiritual exposures at that time, we were not really taught. When I began with God, the emphasis was the health of your spirit man. And I think it should be so in that order. Are we together? When you begin your spiritual pursuit, the emphasis should be the health of your spirit man. Not just philosophies and laws. In fact, encounters. We started with encounters, our press towards God, our need for the Holy Spirit. And that remains a viable formula till today. Anybody I want to introduce to spiritual things, I'm not going to start teaching them about money, fame. No. In that order, you have to start with God. Remember the formula I taught us here? In the beginning, God. It always starts with God, not principles. Encounters first. But then, when we got to a point where we needed to add other facets to it, I didn't have that opportunity, but I blessed God for the privilege of men like Dr. Miles Monroe. When I began to study their material and study the material of other people, I found out that my mental development and the quality of my thinking and my mindset had everything to do with the overall journey to an excelling life. Unlike the narrative we had been given at that time, that if you were doing well spiritually, don't worry about what happens in your mind. The Holy Ghost will magically correct everything as you go. And there are still people who believe that fallacy till today. That just because you are pressing into God spiritually, it means automatically your mind will find a way of transforming itself. No. That's not accurate. Even if it's a thought that comes from well-intentioned people, you have a responsibility to walk with God and understand that your mental construct has everything to do with the kind and the quality of life that you live. I think it was Bill Johnson who wrote a very powerful book many years ago, The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind. And it's a book that is worth reading even till today. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. The Bible tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, interchange for mind, he said, so is he. I spend a lot of time dealing when I have the privilege of mentoring people or talking to them. My primary focus is helping and guiding their spiritual lives. But when we're able to achieve that, the next port of call becomes to invest time and energy and quality information in reconstructing their belief systems. I've taught you in this house that most of us derive our thinking and our mindsets from culture primarily. The cultural experiences that we've had are shapers of our understanding, the way we view life, a product of culture. Number two, our experiences, past and present. We've experienced all kinds of things, especially negative things, and they can build destructive memories. Are we together? And those destructive memories can affect us. When God is saying this, your mindset in partnership with your history is telling you this cannot happen in your life. We build our mindsets from our associations. Our associations, friends, relatives. The implication of friendship is that subconsciously, when you bring people close to your life, what you are saying is that you are submitting yourself to their own ideologies too. Are we together? I've taught you that if there are five wise people in your life. You didn't count well. There are actually six. You being the sixth. And respectfully speaking, if there are five foolish people in your life, you also didn't count well. There are actually how many? If there are five prosperous people in your life, your closest circle of friends, there are six prosperous people. If there are five defeated mediocres, flattering themselves, competing with one another, prepared or not, you must know that you are also part of that competition. He that walks with the wise, the Bible says, shall be wise himself. It says, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So we derive our mindsets. Medical science teaches us that children at birth or humans are programmed in two ways. Number one is genetic programming, as it comes from their parents. But the second and more important programming is called environmental programming. Are we together? When man fell, the first question the Lord asked him when he said, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice, but I hid because I was naked." Next question, who told you? You have submitted your ears and your influence to another entity. The failure that you have embraced in your life came as a result of a programming. There are many people today, listen, I have seen so many people, tongue-talking people, and sometimes anointed men and women of God. And sometimes when they see me do the things that God does through me, you know, most of them will rejoice. But believe me, they do not know that there is an ancient stumbling block resident within their minds that makes them believe that it's impossible for God to use you that far. Hallelujah. There are people today, the limitation to your exploits in the spirit and even towards gaining mastery has nothing to do with a demonic attack. All the spirits have been driven, yet you are still failing. You know why? Because there is a stumbling block. There is something that has been programmed in your mind that you can't go this far. But by this teaching in the name of Jesus, that stumbling block, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, let that stumbling block depart from you now. When I began my walk with God, my life was full of visions. And I submit to you, some of them I've seen them happen already. Some are still on the way happening, and others are yet to come. But when I saw some of these visions, you can imagine at that level, starting naive in spiritual things on many grounds, and seeing God show me all of these things, it was up to me now to believe, God, can you do this with me? To the nations across the globe. Thank God for the mentorship of great men like Dr. Miles Munro, who challenged me and made me know that it is possible. I told you, ambitiously, I wrote a letter to several men of God when I was starting. In Nigeria, across Africa, I took that step of faith. I can't even remember what I wrote. I just wrote and told all of them, God called me. What do they have to say? How can you guide me? And to my greatest shock, I was called at the post office that there was one reply waiting for me. And I went there and opened that letter, and this was Dr. Miles Munro. Wrote it handwritten and was encouraging me and said, listen, as at then, he said, I have the largest church in Bahamas by the grace of God, and still I am relevant in the political space. I am advisor to many presidents. I have written books with many bestsellers. Never, never limit yourself. And I said, this is it. As simple as what I'm telling you is, there are some of you seated here. You have robbed us of the books that we should be reading. You have robbed us of the help them, please. Somebody is already falling under the anointing there. I'm just sensing impartations. Oh, this night. We're on a journey this night, oh. In the name of Jesus. Books. Some of you, businesses. Some of you, even ministries. Listen, never, never downplay the extent of limitation that a poor or faulty mindset can bring to your destiny. Don't you think demons are the only things that stop you from going forward? Mindsets. There are times demons don't need to do anything. When they find a mindset as large as them, yeah, they will go back. Because the same thing will happen to you. Hallelujah. And please look at me. We who are privileged to be in this side of the continent and this nation, subliminally, we have been programmed as individuals and as a people to put limitations on our life. Our history itself naturally comes with propositions of limitations. I'm not talking of being blindly ambitious. I'm talking of being full of confidence, knowing this, that he that cometh from above is above all. The Lord began to bring several layers of deliverance to my life. Number one was Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1 and 2. You hear me read it often. That it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord will set Joshua Selman on high above how many nations? Believe me, when I saw all nations, I believed it. By the way, this whole revelation was in one room. All nations, I believe. When I started seeing visions, I will never forget, I was in Port Harcourt in 2007, attending to a dear lady then who was sick. She would later pass on, and you know, part of the people that were staying with in Port Harcourt. And I remember the teaching hospital there. It was my turn to attend them, you know, as a man of God. And I suddenly looked outside from that bed space. And I was open to a vision. I saw 37 flags. And that was the international headquarters of Koinonia. I saw it there. I wrote it down. I said, Lord, I believe it. We are going there. Can I tell you this? Please look at me. For some of you, nothing good has come to your life because your mindset has commanded every good thing to return. Every good thing. To the extent that if people favor you, you don't believe it. Because your mindset has been so deconstructed, it is against the laws of your life. For some, can something be that easy? There are many of you here who, intellectually speaking, you are about the brightest and the finest. Yet you have fallen into this deception of Satan that you are good for nothing. Apostle, I think I'm good for nothing. If I ask you why, you'll say, I don't speak very well. My English is this and that. Give me another reason. I come from the village, you will say. My grandmother is in the village. My grandfather is in the village. I was born and bred in the village, drinking well water. What has that got to do with a glorious destiny? Can I tell you? You can choose to be in Egypt and yet be thinking Canaan. In fact, you have to think Canaan to go to Canaan. Right from when I was in one room, I stand by the God of heaven. I believed everything God told me. I'm not just speaking in terms of finances and all of that. No, I believed it. That one day I will speak to kings and I will speak to nations. I believed it. Jeremiah 1:5. Say not that I am a child, but to whoever I send you to. Verse 6. You see, Jeremiah cried and said, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Verse 7, he rebuked him and he said, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. For someone, God is speaking to you here, that he's lifting you, not just spiritually. I hope you understand the concept of kingdom advance now. When we teach like this, we are not just talking pulpit. For some of you, God has told you he's taking you to UN. AU. And when you think about it, you just laugh at yourself and say, me, I came to challenge that devil. Every mindset that will not let you rise. Ill speakings of men that kept putting you down. I curse it right now in the name of Jesus. Please sit down. Unfortunately, sadly but unfortunately, many of us probably came from families where it was a norm to speak words of discouragement. I remember a particular person many years ago who cried. He got an award, and when he called his parents, the parents said he should go and return it to the rightful owner. He got an award. True story. Return it to who? Because the father said, no, this is my stupid and useless son. It's impossible to have that award. There's a gentleman, I think he's here in Koinonia. I usually minimize talking about things like this because eventually we're talking to the whole globe, but it's something that is very good. The gentleman came and met me, I think a month or two in school of ministry, and he had designed a drone, a very intelligent, a drone system that will be such a blessing, you know, to several people and several parastatals across this nation. And he had designed also something like the engine of a vehicle or something like that. I looked at him and I held his hand. I said, my dear one, listen to me. No matter what happens, let me give you two confessions. One, it's going to be difficult to rise to the top. Go and listen to my message, this grace called favor. Because in Nigeria, you need favor, not just skill, to rise. Number two, I told him, no matter what happens, don't give up on your dreams. How many times have you seen people who produce results that were far less than you know what you know you could do, and yet you are forced to clap for them because their mindsets were more superior than yours? Not because they had a better idea. Because of the color of your skin, because of your sociological context, you can allow life to reduce you to a point where many of us call ourselves grasshoppers. They limited themselves. God never called them grasshoppers. Satan never called them grasshoppers. They called themselves grasshoppers. It's a popular story. Many men of God have given this story of an eagle, an eaglet now, they call it, huh? That was around with birds, chickens. Because the eagle didn't have her mother to help mentor her and let her know that, look, you are meant for the skies and the hills. And he was around with the chickens all the time, eating and feeding like the chickens. And then one time he saw the mother eagle just flying and soaring around and noticed that, look, my design is similar to that one flying, not this one's there. And that the eaglet just tried to take a step of faith and found out that she was flying. Sometimes, let me tell you this. One of the way God delivers you, listen, let me tell you how God delivers men from negative mindsets. He will take you out of the environment that caused it for a long time. It's a system of quarantine. He will take you away from the naysayers and the negative circles. Many of you right now, if you want to do something good, the moment you see your classmates or the moment you see people who used to know you, they will laugh at you and say, even you. So God will take you to a place where nobody knows you. You now see the reason why he said, kill everybody in Jericho. Only one woman left, Rahab. Do you know why? Because her job there was a prostitute. And God was about to change her life. If there was one person who knew her history, he would be the person who would stop her later on. Destroy everybody. I'm about to give this woman a new beginning. So that they don't see her and tell the future husband that this one, you don't know who this one is. I was her customer. So sometimes, hear me, I'm speaking prophetically to some of you. Because there are some of you, for God to help you, he will have to take you out of that environment. That negative environment where you keep receiving ill speakings and quarantine you. In a spiritual environment like this, where you keep hearing faith-filled words, 6 months under this kind of atmosphere, and all that is left in your destiny is fire. Burns every mediocrity out of your life. When the Lord sent me to Abuja, I've told you, at the risk of sounding proud, forgive me if I do, or you think I do, it's to the glory of God. When I was coming, you know, I've heard a lot of things about ministry in Abuja, and with all due respect and honor to all who serve the Lord, you know, faithfully in this city. When I came, I looked at the place and I was praying, and the Holy Spirit told me to go and buy the map. And I asked them to get me the map of Abuja. I looked at it and I looked at everything. In the midst of my prayer, now I say this respectfully, not to communicate pride. The city became small. Literally, it just became small. You know, like you are standing and you are looking at children playing. And I said, no, come on, this is... How do you think God is going to send you to the nations with this mindset? How do you arrive at another man's land and yet do what God says you should do? Dear businessman, how do you think your conglomerate will go so far? What guarantee do you have that people will be interested in you? They limited God by saying. Some of you from your background, you have never seen sufficiency. Even if the school fees is 2,000, mama will bring 1,500. The brother will bring this. They will now beg. You know, you've not seen. So when God speaks to you and says it will get to a point where you will be given to nations, it's difficult for you to conceive it. But I'm here to speak to someone. No matter what your mindset is saying now, what God says about you must remain. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you. See, there is no need living a fake life. Don't fake what can be real. Don't have a low level thinking and then you cover it with good clothes, cover it with good shoes, cover it with a borrowed car. Leave all those things. Your first assignment after your encounter with the Holy Spirit is to work on your mind. From where thou art, lift your eyes. Your legs may not go there, but your eyes can go. Listen, do you know why I'm speaking to you now about this? There are some of you, as this service is ongoing, the Holy Spirit is reminding you. Remember what I told you in 2013. By now, we would have been working in it. But your fear of this, you can't. I said, start the company. You've not even registered it till now. I told you I will use you mightily. You said you are a stammerer. I brought Aaron to you. You still said Aaron is not intelligent. What do you want?
There is nothing you cannot do.
This is what I believe.
If you have said it, then you will do it. You have a track record of keeping your word, and you're not about to stop.
Hear me, listen to me. You may trek after service to go back home, trek with honor. While your mind is buying the cars, there may be 5 members in the church now. Don't worry, you don't need to fake figures and live a fake life. It's unnecessary. While you are there, let your mindset be in that crusade ground, winning souls in their multitudes for Jesus. Dear Esther, you may be in Shushan, but let your mind be in the palace. Dear Joseph, you may be in prison, but let your mind sit you on the throne. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. There are many of you who do not have the mental strength to survive the seasons of small beginning. Your minds are too fragile. Your obsession for endorsement and reaffirmation will not allow you to move through the tides of negative speaking till you become a champion. Nobody claps for you when you are starting. They only clap for champions. You are going to move while people speak. You are going to move while people gossip. You are going to move while people prophesy and say, watch, nothing will happen. The stamina comes from your spirit, but is reflected through your mind. Mental strength. That if somebody tells you, I hope you know you will fail, tell them, be patient. I will answer you 5 years later. And you have that stamina. Listen, unfortunately, today we live in a social media world where people are under so much obsession to be right. Nobody wants to. No. Champions are not like that. They are focused and determined.
The smoke that rises from the celebration of your result is an answer to the naysayers. You just keep moving. Apostle, I never saw my father build a house. Right now I'm 41, I'm 45. Is there hope for me? It is not lack of cement or blocks or concrete. I assure you, the house has not been built here. You have received a speaking that I am in Abuja and we are here to manage, we are here to live defeated lives. Do you know there are people who it is not the government that has stratified them. They stratified themselves. As soon as they stepped into Abuja, even if they have 100,000 in their account and they are late to take a Bolt or Uber, they will feel guilty. They'll say, no. You know what? We are not for, it's not for Abba. You can start as a carpenter's son. But there was a time they stopped calling Jesus carpenter's son. Find out what happened that the word carpenter's son or the expression stopped. Jesus never said, don't call me carpenter's son again. He did something else. And they said, you are Christos now, the anointed. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you. Listen, I'm not teaching you to fuel lust. You know, let me balance it. There are people who, when you hear this kind of teaching, because you are determined to not even be spiritual in the first place, when you hear these kinds of teachings, it agrees with the desire for carnality and just a rat race of materialism. That's not what I'm teaching. I'm teaching you a healthy confidence that is derived from who you are in Christ. Let them laugh at you. I know that you may have limitation in speech, but your products will do the correction of your English. Can I tell you? Don't fall for this thing that society tries to bring you down. What tribe are you? What name are you? You are not very beautiful. You are not very handsome. And people continue to kill themselves day and night. I have learned, and I teach the School of Ministry students every year, that everybody on earth is a summation of assets and liabilities. But can I tell you one truth? Everything you acknowledge magnifies, including the negative aspects of your life. Philemon 1 and verse 6, it says that the communication of your faith might be effectual. Philemon, not Philippians, Philemon 1, 6. The communication of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. There are some things I have received in my mind. They can't be undone. Number one, I cannot fail. Honestly, it's not pride. Forgive me. I have indoctrinated myself by the Spirit. If there are five people who will succeed on earth, I will start praying for the remaining four. Because one position for sure has been taken. Number two, I do not believe any power in existence can take my life before my time. Now, don't listen. Your destiny is your responsibility. Forget whatever has happened around your life. Number three, I believe that I waved poverty goodbye and it waved me back. When you wave somebody back, you have agreed. Bye-bye. I believe in the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon my life. I say this with every sense of humility. You see. So the pressure to show you anointed is not there. The works will always speak. Listen. I know that I've taught you on several teachings here about the mind. But there's something I want to do to you tonight. Don't think because you come from a rich family, it means your mindset has been corrected. No, your mindset just has an advantage to be adjusted fast. But you can still have a depraved mindset even when you are in the palace. An example, Haman. Haman wanted power so much, his mindset taught him that you must kill everybody. There are two ways to rise. Climb a ladder or cut the head of everybody higher than you. Haman chose the other way. Another person's success is not why you are failing.
The sky is available for every champion. Please hear me, my dear brothers and sisters. There are many of you here who are about to start ministry. Don't be intimidated. Just do things right. Be inspired, be challenged, be provoked, but don't let anybody intimidate you. You will make mistakes, you will learn on the job. Submit yourself to learning, but as far as downplaying the grace of God upon your life is concerned, don't let anybody do that. If you are in ministry, from whatever village or from anywhere, God can use you, and He can use you at a global scale. Business people, listen. Rise out of the realm of subsistent thinking and begin to think globally. Are we together? Yeah. The law of mental transformation. Please sit down. We have to hurry up. Let me jump to the third. But I hope you got what I said. In fact, we should not just jump like that. Lay your hands on your head, and in the name of Jesus, curse every negative thinking that has kept you down, that is inconsistent with the word of God. Command it. This is the season where you must live. Somebody is praying. You are laying your hands on your head prophetically, and you are declaring, my mindset will be derived from the integrity of Scripture. Everything the word of God has said, I believe. It may not manifest now, but it surely will manifest. Hallelujah. Please sit down. So, when church is over, if you happen to be trekking down the road and you see people passing SUVs and all kinds of beautiful cars, don't start insulting people out of anger and say all this. Mm-mm. Just thank Him because your mind is also driving. Are we together? When you see a man of God highly anointed that God is using greatly, don't just look for excuses to downplay what God is doing because you feel insecure. No. Know that that dimension is also a possibility. Not just with your spirit alone, but your mind. When you see a prosperous person, don't just get angry because it reminds you of the things you have not done. Be patient and know that if God did it for so and so, He will also do it for me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I've taught you here that the difference between you and anybody you admire, the difference between you and anybody you admire is, number one, the quality of information that that person has access to. The quality, the first distinguisher of men is the quality of the information, primarily spiritual information. But then in addition, all these other informations, the laws. Number two, the relationships that that person has to honor that heightened level of enlightenment. Because be fruitful also means be relational. And then number three, the kind and the level of grace that is at work in that person's life. This is what separates people into kingdoms. Stop looking down on yourself. Let me preach to you. Stop looking down on yourself. Allow the naysayers talk, but I want you to believe. This is not the first time He's lifting people. This is not the first time He's prospering people. No. This is not the first time He's making a man of God, a prophet, an apostle, an evangelist out of ordinary people. He's a master at it. This is not the first time He's lifting a nobody to become a phenomenon. This is not the first time. It's what He can do.
Creator of the universe, what can't you do? What can't you do?
Sila, think about what you just sang. If He created the universe, what is it about your destiny He cannot create? You're not the first to come to Abuja. You're not the first to do ministry. You're not the first to desire heightened levels of exploits. It is within His power. And in the name of Jesus, in this season, by the quality of your mental transformation, you are breaking to the left, you are breaking to the right. to the point that people will come when they hear that you are the one that God has made you steward over that organization and the rest. They will doubt it till they see you. When did Saul become a prophet? And you will tell them by the Spirit of God he was a prophet many years ago. You are only seeing the manifestation. There is nothing God has told me that I cannot believe him for. I learned this from God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo. He said he can believe God for anything. For those of you who think you have seen what this ministry has done, we are only one step out of the cave. You keep watching. You will see the wonder-working power of the God of heaven. At the risk of sounding arrogant, I will say it again. Watch the wonder-working power. The law of mental transformation. Gentlemen, build your house here. Build a company here. Build a ministry with the Holy Spirit here. What kind of man of God do you see yourself becoming? As revealed to you by the Spirit, translate that reality here. This is the womb of your destiny. Don't expect delivery when there is no pregnancy, when there is no conception. This is where the miracle happens. The word of God is that seed, but let it find a resting place in your mind and then give it time. In as you cry, you continue, and one day your profiting will appear unto all, and they who once laughed at you will now come to celebrate you, and they will tell you the baby in the manger is now having a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. You will not always remain a baby in a manger, ladies and gentlemen. Have I wasted your time tonight? You can't imagine how much we have. Let's go to the next law. Are you learning this now? Do you know why I'm teaching you this and teaching you again? Because I want you to gain mastery. The series is about gaining mastery, so that with a surgeon's precision, you can diagnose what is wrong with men around your life. And not, if you want to help people spiritually, you literally can create a routine from failure to success, like a bridge, and connect the person. For the average person who has been in church for 3, 4, 5 years, did you know that if they hand over a new believer to you and they say, raise this person and follow that person up, most believers don't know what to do. At best, they'll say, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? No. Go for prayer department meeting on Tuesday and discuss the remaining there. And most believers are at a loss as to how to mature and mentor and grow and build people. And if you are a leader here, you need to learn this. Aside from being a spiritual leader, you will be a leader in business, in politics. You must know how to build people. Building people, there is a skill. There is a science to building people. Mental transformation. Bring a weak and defeated people, like the men of David in the cave of Adullam. Submit them to a visionary leader like David, and he will not only change their names, he will change their destinies. Few years later, they will be called the mighty men of David. The Bible says one held a sword and fought standing in one position. He killed 800 people and the sword would not leave his hand. That's mastery. Hallelujah. One of the blessings of mastery is that the more you become a master at anything, fear goes. Fear is proof that you have not gained hold of certain laws, spiritually and physically. There are those who drive these heavy-duty trucks, and you will think because they are driving, they should be afraid. You will see a tiny man, and he will hop, you know, into that truck, and you will see him maneuver that truck with mastery. And yet you see a learner struggling, wondering whether the L in his car or her car has fallen, and seeing people just shaking their heads and just passing while he's driving, and he doesn't even know if he's moving or not. Law number 3, the law of value and contribution. Pay attention. We're striving for mastery. The law of value and contribution. Your relevance in life will always be a reflection. your relevance in the eyes of your world will always be a reflection of your value and your contribution. Nobody will applaud you for doing nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, your relevance, as far as living in this cosmos is concerned, whether in ministry, in business, in politics, in whatever field of endeavor, it will be a measure of your value and your contribution. Say value. Please say it again. Say value. Say contribution. Say value. Say contribution. Please look up. When you are sick, who do you need in your life? A doctor. Is that true? Yeah. When you want to build a house, you need an architect. Am I right? When you want to solve your security concerns, you need a security agent. Until your life can match a problem and solve it, there is no reason why people will consider you necessary in their lives. Don't downplay the law of value and contribution. Those in ministry especially, most people think they are in ministry and people are placing a demand on them just because they are preaching Jesus Christ. From a spiritual standpoint, yes. But from a standpoint of success, from a standpoint of impact and exploits, it is because you are making a healthy contribution. A man of God is part of the systems put in place. Are we together now? To help people in matters of faith, and you are a contributor to nation building. So you are not a nuisance to civilization. Let me tell you this. If nobody is following you and placing a demand upon your life, it is a report card to you that your value and your contribution is low or not there. Every service, respectfully speaking, I leave this place only on a few times, but most times we stay into the morning, because after the service there are still other things you're doing, counseling, praying, and doing some other things. And no matter how you want to cut it, the demand and the needs of the people is just overwhelming. And you know that God has engraced you to solve that problem. Can I tell you this? When all men seek for you, it is because there's something you are carrying that has now been revealed. Look how Dr. Miles describes it so excellently. A mango tree does not have a signboard that brings people to it. A mango tree does not have a worship team that charges the atmosphere. A mango tree does not have ushers. All the mango tree does is to begin to produce mangoes. And remember, when it is budding and doing all of these things, people can pass. But give it a few months, people will stand there in response to the quality, juicy fruits on that tree. Human beings who once neglected that tree can now climb the tree. Look how people come early in the morning on a windy day to pick the mangoes that are on the ground. Can I tell you, there is an explanation to your loneliness. I don't mean to play with your emotions, but for as long as you believe that people will be indefinitely committed to you without providing any notable value and contribution, you are dreaming. Think again. Nobody will follow you and invest into your life and destiny indefinitely, except and unless at the instance of value, ever increasing value and contribution. Men of God, let's listen carefully. It will take more than just evangelism to bring people. Make sure where they are coming to is prepared enough. Prepared through the quality of sound teaching. Prepared through the demonstration of the Spirit to solve real life problems. Is someone learning now? How many of you know that there were businesses that were in existence 10 years ago and they've been edged out because they did not develop themselves to match the current realities that are in today's world? Loneliness has an explanation. When you are left alone, it doesn't mean people hate you. It's that they are determined to solve their problems, and they have learned by experience that you don't intend to be part of that solution. So they will respectfully create a group and keep you there. There are many of you who have maybe restrooms or, you know, rooms in, especially in facilities like this. And sometimes they can put a little card there, out of service. Out of service means it has potential to be used, but right now you cannot use it. Some of you, that's what you have written. It's all over you as you move around. I am out of service. I can't contribute anything to your life. There are men of God, respectfully, who are carrying that placard. I want to serve Jesus, but I've not built my value, the spiritual content of my value, to be able to serve God's people with excellence and precision. Translating their desires into a Christian experience that is fruitful. How do you know you are making definite contributions? Because the demand will continue for as long as you remain valuable. Ladies and gentlemen, have you seen, some of you who watch Nat Geo Wild, the National Geographic channel, you find out that sometimes they show all of these videos of, you know, the animal kingdom, and they come to the riverside to take water. Once they are full, sometimes they ignore the river, and the river never moves to look for them. The river is confident enough to know that sooner or later they will come back. Man of God, who told you there are too many men of God in Nigeria? You are just not anointed enough. You've not just sat down to build capacity enough. Not from a competitive standpoint. You have not branded your impact with such value and contribution. Can I tell you, when you become valuable, those who need you will find you. Man of God, who told you, or I said man of God, businessman, who told you there are enough malls in Abuja? Oh, Abuja people, there are, when I hear people say there are too many people doing this, I say no. In every industry, there are those who are at the highest levels. Are we together? Yeah. Last time I checked, there are about 3.6 people. I'm sure a lot more than that. In Abuja, for instance, let's use our city. Every one of these people, at least, even if they are fasting, they still break. Can I tell you this? Your value must be able to match the level of hunger and thirst that people have. You are not at liberty to just create any kind of value, refined or not. Your value must be refined. If you are a man of God, it's time to go back and stay with the Holy Spirit. Don't just rush and say, I have what to offer. You preach 2 weeks and you don't have anything to say again. The people may not fight you, but the demons attacking them are real. The confusion in their lives is not, they are not faking these things. They will leave you and look for genuine solutions. Are you getting what I'm saying now? This is very powerful. Do you know that there are businesses in this nation? Look at banks, for instance. Because of the role that they play in helping the economy of territories, it does not matter what location they establish the bank. You will always find people there because there is money inside. Respectfully, I would always give this story of NSAS. I'm not to stir up, I'm a preacher, but then let me just, during the NSAS, you know, people were sadly, it's not what I will encourage, but people were, you know, jumping and boggling storehouses. Do you know that there was no storehouse that said, I am here, there is rice inside me? How people invented the skill to discern. This discernment that looked very hard. During that NSAS, people found out, and we didn't see where the ladder was, but there were people at the top. Because some of the storehouses were hidden in places that you should not suspect that there's anything there. Bike men were following both sides of the roads, carrying people, and they were laughing. People were helping one another, even those who never knew themselves. Now, let me ask you a question. Hold on. Imagine that your life becomes like that warehouse. Let me tell you, they will find you anywhere you are.
Don't tell me it's because I'm in Lugbe. Don't tell me it's because I'm in another city. No. When your value is high, carry genuine anointing and see what God does. Genuine grace to teach and build people. Doesn't matter whether you're in America. When it has to do with spiritual things, they sustain equal value everywhere. Apostle, how can I know that people will come to my store? Show me what you are doing there. Do you not know that excellence is a language? There are those who know how to speak it. If I speak Yoruba now and I ask you to stand in Yoruba, those of you who are Yoruba people will stand. Those who are not Yoruba people will be at a loss. Excellence is a language. There are people who know how to speak it. Competence is a language. There are people who know how to speak it. Skill is a language. The law of value and contribution. Am I wasting your time tonight? Listen, I deliver you by the Spirit of God from a local champion mentality. At least I am better than this one. At least I am better than this one. No. Your clientele is the whole world. You are starving the power and the grace of God. If you are a prophet, don't sit down and be a prophet where they will suspect you, and even those sent to hold your hand are afraid of you because of how, number one, you have not even gotten it clear. You've not done your homework. You are a man of God. God grants you grace to be a revelator of Scripture. Stay with Scripture. Don't just say as the Spirit leads. Submit yourself to doctrine. Learn doctrine. We must fight incompetence. Skill and contribution is the cure to this life of lack and whatever it is. Can I tell you, when you become an active contributor to the lives and the destinies of people, I give you this as a guarantee. They will forgive many, many limitations in your life to pursue the value that you have. Those days when we started, there was only audio. Those of you who have followed the ministry for a long time, God gave an instruction. We didn't put any video except videos that were maybe external ministrations. And people would sit down and listen to the videos, and sometimes they would listen to the sound quality, you know, may not be the best, and yet they will enjoy it because of the value that they know they would find there. It was Bishop David Oyedepo who said that when they started in Kaduna, people were not coming, and after praying and doing all of these things, God gave him a few things. And among the many things God told him is that when you bring quality, life applicable teachings, people will come and they will stay like a grass. Like the when animals come, when they find a pasture, they stay and learn. I'm just using ministry as an example, but it applies to every area. You're a music minister. Don't sing, as your relatives will clap for you no matter how you sound because they love you. But you must be disciplined to tell yourself, if I desire to sing his praises to the nations, then I must be competent. Can I tell you this? When you are pressing for competence, don't let your tears deceive you. You may cry, but continue. Value and contribution. I made up my mind that for as long as I live, I will never stand before God's people to waste their time teaching nonsense and just wasting the precious time of God's people. Hear me. Some of you, the reason why you've not been promoted, take away all kinds of biases. You say, I've been there 3 years. You've been there 3 years, but you have not shown your superiors that you have built value enough for your promotion to be worthwhile. A lot of Christians, yes, I know that there might be biases of religion and culture and all of that, but let me tell you sincerely, if you want to strive for mastery, please obtain grace from God to be valuable. Obtain grace from God to be valuable. Obtain grace from God to be a contributor to the lives and the destinies of people. Man of God, by the time God uses you to bring order to the life of a confused person, salvation to an unsaved person, transformation to an ignorant believer, empowerment to a transformed believer, and you release the people like the foxes of Samson, it is impossible for you to stand and remain lonely, not in the face of value. I once had a vision many years ago. And in that vision, I think I've shared it here maybe once at least. There was a long queue of people, and I was serving them bread, and the bread was filled with honey. The honey was even dripping. And I was not the one making the bread. I was just receiving it from a machine. And the machine never stopped making the bread. The bread would come out with honey. And somebody would taste of it and run and go and call his relatives and say, come, they are sharing something here. And some of the people who took it would go back and join the queue. And for some reason, they were looking at me. They couldn't see the machine that was producing the bread and honey. It was mixing it already. I was just receiving it and giving them. When I woke up, I said, I found the key. It will work in Abuja. It will work in London. It will work in US. It will work at the Caribbeans. Provided it is a platform for value, it will work. Let me prophesy to you that in the name of Jesus, where you have been neglected because of your inability to have structured your life to provide value, in the name of Jesus, men will look for you. Kings will look for you. Nobles will look for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Jesus had the boldness. Jesus the humble. Jesus the meek and lowly. Had the audacity to make a very daring statement. Here's what he said. I am the way. I am that valuable. He said, I am the truth. And he said, I am the life. Then he went further to say, no man cometh to the Father except by me. You want to rout the Father? Use every other method. You will see, come back here. Joseph said, let the king look for a man who is discreet and wise. It was a polite way of saying, king, I dare you. Where were all the people when I was in the prison? Search round and see if you will find them. Can I tell you this? When God wants to lift you by, he energizes you to work on your value and contribution. And when he sees that you have done your assignment, that finger will lift you in a way that nobody will be able to come within that vicinity. That's how God honors men. And that's what God is doing for someone. When it was time for God to lift Joseph, he shut the heavens over the sorcerers. And it was now Joseph's time to arise and shine. Please, fight incompetence. And do not just be a receiver, receiver, receiver. When I talk of being valuable, I'm not just talking of doing things. You can be valuable by being a blessing. Whether through words, whether through actions, whether through whatever it is. Those days when I used to take, then it was not Uber, it was not Bolt, you can just take a cab, just call it cab. There was a particular driver, that man was so neat. He used to drive me to the airport. I would save his number and call him. If he told me he was busy, I would tell him, please, just release whoever, I will pay you double for that amount. He was so neat. Very excellent driver, careful, cautious, trustworthy. You could send him to go and pick someone for you. Now, there were many drivers, but I just loved, and we had meaningful discussions on our way to the airport. When he found out I was a man of God, true story, the next time I came, I noticed he was playing, I think it was Don Mueno or something. He had gone to get a CD or something, like at least his own contribution. Can I tell you this? Don't be angry and say people don't love me. Ask yourself, what am I bringing to the table? The table of greatness has many seats, but the rule is you don't sit down with an empty hand. You first submit what you are bringing. It is vetted by the intelligence of God. If it will serve and bless people sufficiently with honor, you are granted a seat there. Otherwise, you will be driven back to go and work on yourself. Can I tell you? I am sorry, but I have to tell you this. There are many believers who will still inherit shame in the days to come. Do you know why? Because many people keep claiming realms that they have not built value that can bring them into it with nobility and honor. I will get there colorful and it's bright and they keep dancing. And life says, show me the value and the contribution that you have. I made up my mind that in every area of my life where the Lord would have me serve, whether in ministry, in leadership, corporate life, whatever it is, I would be valuable and competent. That I will never stand before anybody across the globe and not be able to contribute something to their lives. If I cannot contribute intellectually, most likely, if the person is not born again, there are demons. Even if you are free from demons, most likely you may not be very serious with the Holy Spirit. I'm still there again. You know what it means to be Alpha and Omega? Go and find out the implication of that name. You cannot do without me. You can run away from me, but you will meet a need that will still bring you back to me. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to make a covenant with your destiny tonight that in the name of Jesus Christ, I will stop being the one who just claps for people with jealousy and shame. I'm ready to go and sit down. For some of you, you are complaining and say, people don't like me. Forget all those things. Stop trying to live a fake life, getting a house that your value cannot maintain. Go back with nobility from where you are. Start building yourself. Buy books after service. Buy teachings. Go online. Instead of browsing around, finding it out what is happening in people's lives who don't know you, settle down and get materials. Man of God, don't just move around telling people I'm a man of God. Invite me. Go and sit down. Lord, what is the secret of fire? What is the secret to an excelling life? What is the secret to teaching with precision? How do I understand scripture? Number four, I've not taught this in this house because there is a separate series. My goodness, you will not want to miss that series. We're going to be dealing with a serious issue in the body of Christ. But it's one of the laws of dominion that will help you if you want to strive for mastery. The law of authority. The law of authority. There is a separate series that is coming there. But this is very powerful. Most people do not realize that you succeed in life to the degree you are as powerful as your relationship with the authority that sends you. You are as powerful as your relationship with the authority that sends you. Most people do not understand that authority plays a vital role in dominion and commanding mastery. Hallelujah. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, Apostle James was teaching us the power of authority. And here's what he said. Submit yourselves therefore to God. That is the first key. Recognize that there is an authority from when you derive your own power, and then with that consciousness, resist the devil, and he says he will flee. Most people just go into resisting the devil, and they do not understand that the level of your submission to authority. Dr. Mike Mudok will say authority seeks to provide three things in the life of any individual. Number one, provision. Number two, protection. Number three, promotion. The assignment of authority in the life of a believer. Number one, provision. Number two, protection. Number three, promotion. The law of authority. Long reading, Matthew chapter 8, I believe. Let me check it here. Matthew chapter 8, when you read from verse 5 to 13, Jesus, it was a story of the centurion. The Bible says he saw a centurion, verse 6. Let's hurry up so that we can pray. The centurion came to him and said, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. 7. Jesus said unto him, I will come, I will respect your office and come and heal him. Let's see what happened. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. What was the basis of his understanding? For I am a man, help me, under authority. Stop there. I am a man. There is something I know about the power of authority, that you are as powerful as the authority that backs you. Can I tell you, when God sent Moses, Moses said, it will take more than skill to bring deliverance. Who shall I tell Pharaoh has sent me? Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32b. Here's what the Bible says. But the people that do know their God, the governments that have sent them, they shall be strong and shall do exploits. Can I tell you this? Life and destiny must ask you this one question. Who sent you? In preparing my notes for this discussion tonight, I just thought about how many jobs we have in Nigeria, and how that there are some jobs, because of the sensitive nature of the jobs, they will demand that before they consider you, you have to bring a reference letter. Am I right on that? You bring a reference letter from a very noble personality. They believe that no one will just take his reputation on you for nothing. They would ask you questions. So they will say, bring a letter from a senator, a president, whatever, a director, or somebody, a civil servant at a particular grade level. Can I tell you this? It is dangerous to try to explore this realm of greatness alone. The authority that backs you, both physically and spiritually, matters. A dear man of God in this nation, when he was moving to go and start ministry, he went to meet another senior man of God, a father of faith in this nation, and he said, what one advice would you give me as I'm going now? And according to him, the man of God spoke to him in Yoruba, and he said, here is my advice. Never fight alone. You will be defeated. You are as powerful as the authority that sent you. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Are you conscious of the authority that you are under? What gives us the audacity to gather people like this, week in, week out? We had a powerful time in Zaria over the weekend, you know, wonderful time of teaching, miracle service, and it was such a phenomenal time. What gives this audacity? The authority. When Jesus walked upon the earth, notice, Jesus never called himself Father. Go and read your Bible. Jesus never. They called him Father. They attested to the fact that he was one with. He said, I am the Father, I am one. But he never called himself Father. For as long as he was on earth, he acknowledged that there was Abba, one above him. The law of authority. Many believers are not able to succeed because they do not understand the power of authority. Can I tell you? I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but let me tell you. If you just depend on the quality of your spiritual life alone to advance you, your pace may be slow. There are times you would need to outsource the covenant advantage that comes with authority and make tremendous progress in your life while you grow. Authority is powerful. When God calls men as individuals, when God calls ministries, there are covenants that he has with them that become the platform for certain possibilities to happen. And you can tap into that covenant. There are ministries that carry the covenant of wealth and prosperity. You will see people come to that ministry even before they know anything about finances. They start prospering because of honor to authority. There are ministries that are prophetic, for instance. You would see a businessman would come into the ministry looking for business solution. But in addition to that solution, they will also carry that grace because it's an advantage. Every ministry and every genuine servant of God, in fact, it extends to every leader that God calls. Please hear me. There are covenants, and these covenants can become a platform. Now, it can be idolized, unfortunately. We're suffering that now in Africa. But within the boundary of Scripture, if you understand the advantage that authority provides, your life will be a sign and a wonder. When it was time for David to go and fight Goliath. Read your Bible. When Saul heard about him, he looked at him. There were certain questions that Saul asked. Among them, whose son are you? What tribe are you? Not who trained you in the wilderness. I want to know what covenant you are going to that battleground with. When he stood before Goliath, Goliath had their own gods that they worshipped, even as a warrior. But David came and announced the basis of his victory. He says, you come to me with your spears and your bows, but I come to you in the name of the God of heaven, whom you have, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. Can I tell you this? There are times your skill can fail, but the covenant of the authority you are under can speak to you and speak for you. It is true. The law of authority. Let's go to the next one. I'm just discussing all the laws, or some of the many laws of the spirit, that you must be able to know and study in depth if it is mastery that you want to gain. Next, the law of faith. I've done an extensive teaching on this. John 11 and verse 14. I tell you, someone's life is changing this night. In the name of Jesus Christ. John 11, 40. Jesus saith to her, saith I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? So there is a relationship between believing God and seeing his glory. I have taught extensively on faith here. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Jesus himself is teaching us a lesson on faith. And he says, have faith in God. Papa Hagin would say, have the faith of God. 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, the Bible says he shall have whatsoever he saith. 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that thou receivest them, and thou shalt have them. Say faith. One more time, say faith. A combination of your conviction and your persuasion about God alongside your obedience. Your obedience. Faith, in one word, is obedience. Obedience to the scriptural demands that commit God over the affairs of your life. Not just obedience to anything. Obedience to the scriptural demands. For everything you want God to do in your life, there are scriptural demands. Faith becomes a definition, the name given to your complying with the scriptural demands that commit God. Apostle, I want to prosper. There is a scriptural demand. Your assignment is to obtain grace to walk in keeping with that demand. Apostle, I want to excel in life. There is a scriptural demand. Please look up. Four times in scripture, like you have learned here, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. There are no guarantees in life, precious people of God. Nobody will give you a guarantee anywhere. Your guarantee is your faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Man of God, nobody is going to give you a guarantee that the next 10, 20 years, you will still be relevant in ministry. Nobody will give you a guarantee that you will still be alive by next week. Nobody will give you a guarantee that you will still be at the cutting edge of revival and the program of God. It takes faith, your conviction. But I know whom I have believed, the Bible says, and I am persuaded that he is able. If I ask you, what makes you believe that 2022 will still be a victorious year for you? Don't tell me my uncle just became a senator. That's not a very accurate answer. Your faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is still alive. And for as long as he's alive, for as long as his word remains true, then I remain victorious. Someone shout and say, I am victorious. Let the devil hear you. I am victorious. Ready for the next? I hope you understand what I'm giving you now. The law of relationships. This is the next. The law of relationships. Goodness. The law of relationships. I'm just touching on it. Remember, I taught you on this, that relationships matter in your life. We're gaining mastery so that if somebody tells you things are not working in my life, in your mind, if you want to help that person, you don't just say, let's pray. You can know what is wrong. Apostle, I'm a great man, but there's nobody somewhere to hear me. You know that this person is lacking of relationships. Relationships are very powerful. I taught you from Genesis 12 and Genesis 13. Remember the story of Abraham and Lot? The Bible says God called Abraham. He called him alone and all his servants. Then the Bible says, and Lot went with him. By the time we get to chapter 13, we see that everything Abraham had, Lot also had. To the point that you will not even know who God called and who followed again. And then Lot made a mistake, a costly mistake. He separated himself from Abraham. I've taught you in this house that there are three levels and three kinds of relationships. There are general relationships, to be friendly and to be nice and kind and warm to everybody around you, regardless who, regardless status. Number two, there are seasonal relationships. And that the key to receiving from seasonal relationships is discernment, because those relationships are not there forever. You have to discern them and maximize the moment while they are there. And then number three, there are covenant or destiny relationships. These are relationships you must protect at all costs, because a part of your success and your results is connected to it. The moment Lot separated himself from Abraham, the next thing we find is a gradual decline until he found himself in the middle of Sodom. It still took Abraham to negotiate for him and still send angels to come and help him and rescue him. And then Abraham, many times he helped that his cousin called Lot, prodigal son. He was successful only because he was in relationship with his father. The moment he cut away from that relationship, lack and want started until he found himself with pigs. How about the believer? We only excel based on our relationship with Jesus and then our relationship with his spirit. The basis for our excelling in life is the Spirit of God. Relationships are powerful. There are laws to relationships. One of it is friendliness. I've taught you this. Forbearance. All men are men. The best of any man is still a man. The person you like the most will annoy you one day is not new. Learn it. You have to factor it. I taught you that one of the major things you need to maintain relationships is forgiveness and forbearance. Forgiveness means to pardon a default. Forbearance means to create an accommodation for that lapse, because it will happen again. Can I tell you? Some of the people God will use to lift and help you most in life, some of them may sustain things in your life you want to drive them for. But let me tell you sincerely, if you can understand how relationships work, you will protect certain relationships until they deliver to you the prophecy attached to them. For instance, maybe you're a man of God. Maybe there is a man of God anointed and assigned to help you, but you don't like the man because of the way he speaks, or because of temper, or because of other limitations. Your ability to endure those limitations will make way for you to receive of the grace that is in that person. Everybody say relationships. You are a relationship away to the next level of your life. I've taught you extensively on this, and that includes even the ministry of destiny helpers. Remember, divine connectors, men of influence, gifted people, burden bearers. Listen, I want you to go back. I gave you an assignment that time. I know many of you didn't do it. God is giving you another chance. Go and write a list of some of the most valuable relationships in your life and begin to invest in them consciously. The top 10 relationships in your life that reflect, it's like those relationships are a gateway You can't put everybody in your life in the same category and invest the same level of time, energy, and effort. That is not wise. It has nothing to do with hating or loving. There are relationships that are priceless in your life. And if and when you find those relationships, throw away your ego and don't be ashamed to invest your time and energy, because the returns from those relationships will translate into an excelling life. Hallelujah. Are we together? There are sacrifices that I've made in my life, even in ministry. There are places I've gone to minister. It was not part of the original schedule. But the sacrifice of maintaining relationships, maybe with the fathers and the people there, I've had to bend over backwards, sometimes even to the detriment of my health. It was it may not have been the best sacrifice, but can I tell you the truth? I know that the excellency of the kind of relationship that will be built from that sacrifice will be worth the while. There are many of you, there is nobody who is special in your life. Nobody is worth your commitment. There is nobody who can make you wake up in the night to answer their call or pray for them. You believe you are a disciplinarian. I sleep by 12 midnight and not even Jesus Christ wakes me. If you continue like that, you will not go far. Can I tell you, when it has to do with the world of men, there are positive compromises. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I left you with a thought when we discussed on relationship. Let me bring it to you again. Is there anyone in your life today who sees you to be so valuable and useful to them that if you call for help of any sort, if it is within their power, they will stand up without question and come to you? If you don't have at least one of such kind of person in your life, I assure you by God, you are sitting on a time bomb. No matter how anointed, no matter how enlightened. In this world, who hates you does not matter, but who likes you matters. Is there somebody who can cry with you when you are crying? Not that you beg the person to cry with you. He came on his own volition to say, I love you too much. Your pain is my pain. Great leaders will tell you that part of the things that make them excel is that they may not have money, but they have the wealth of men. Genuine and sincere men. I'll tell you a little story now. I'm sure he's going to be embarrassed about pastor here. I remember one time I was going to go and preach, and it was a huge sacrifice. I was to stop by at Enugu, just do 2-3 hours or so, preach, and then head to connect with another conference in Port Harcourt. It was so inconveniencing, but then I needed to push through because of the honor that I had for that man of God and that father of faith. And when I remember, when I got in, I was, you know, so exhausted. And please don't feel embarrassed. This dear man, you see, when I tell you he's a good man, he really is a good man. Put together his team. It was even his team that went and picked me from the airport. I just went to rest a bit. And as I was preaching, he came for the program. When I finished, this man was with me all around. This is, for those of you who know House on the Rock very well, respectfully speaking, this is one of the men who has raised many of the leaders in House on the Rock. Profound humility. Hallelujah. I was so humbled and broken that day. I didn't know how to tell him, Pastor, please, your boys are here, you go back. And he escorted me right to the base of the aircraft to leave. Can I tell you this? I have learned by experience, not everybody thinks you are a big deal. So when you find people who think you are that important, don't trivialize them. Because it is not everybody who thinks you are that special or deserving of honor that much. Let me give you a kind advice. When you find people in your life who are sincerely interested in your life and your well-being and love you sincerely with no strings attached, let me tell you, don't be ashamed to invest in those relationships. Are we learning? There are some people who may not have money to give you, man of God, but you can be sure that every time you cry, they are there. How do you throw such people out of your life? When Jesus Christ was on his way to go and die, I taught you during Easter, Where was the woman with the issue of blood who cried? Where was the man at the entrance of Jericho, the blind man? You thought all these people haven't received from Jesus. Are you learning that it's not enough to be valuable? As powerful as it was, Jesus gave them value. But now, when he was headed for the cross, they all left him. But there was a stranger who supposedly appeared from nowhere. Simon of Cyrene. He said, I will not let you cry. I cannot die for the world, but I can help the one who can die. Back then in Zaria, I don't watch a lot of movies, unfortunately. I don't have the time. But I did a teaching in Zaria then, I remember. And I love this movie called Lord of the Rings. I think it seems to be one of my best movies. Simply because I just love anything that shows the laws of life in place. Right? And there was a gentleman, the ring bearer. You won't believe that all my love for that film is because of one scene. So don't think, I've never been able to watch it from start to finish. So don't even think that I know what I'm saying. Praise God. Are we together? But the one scene that the ring bearer was on his way to go and do his due diligence based on prophecy, and he had this faithful friend. And the friend made one statement called Sam. The friend said, I may not be able to carry the ring, but I can carry you. Ah, when I saw that one, I said, this is it. This is a revelation that is scriptural. Question, please look up. There are burdens that you have in your life, dear leader, dear man of God, are there people who can carry you while you carry that burden? Woe betides a man who is left alone carrying the burden of your vision with people who are in your life just to pray on your gifts and go back. They pray on your revelation, pray on your anointing, and once they have everything, question, are there people in your life who, if you don't provide any value for, they will still stay? Because they will tell you, I'm not here for it, I am here for you. May God make you such a person. Then may God bring such people to your life. Amen. The law of relationships. My life has changed because of relationships. God has helped me in ministry because of relationships. Every facet of my life has received an upward turn because of relationships. I remind you again, be fruitful means be relational. There is no fruitfulness without relationships. No matter what you have and what you are, you need relationships. You must obtain grace from God to learn relationships. Apostle, all I need in my life is just God. You are right, but in the cosmos, you are wrong. Hallelujah. Relationships. Let me give you a few more and we wrap up. Are you learning something tonight? The next law that will help you walk in dominion and will help you produce mastery in your life is the law of honor. This is a jackpot. I can spend 1 week teaching on this. I understand it. Believe me. I'm just touching these things. I'm not going into in-depth detail. I've done teachings on them. The law of honor. Very powerful spiritual principle. Honor. Being the discerning, the celebrating, and even the rewarding of men because of their value and their uniqueness. The law of honor is powerful. Let me submit to you that honor can open sometimes more doors for you even than your skill. There are only one reason really, separated into three dimensions, why people fail in life. Only one reason. Dishonor. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, dishonor to principles. That is the only reason why people fail. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, dishonor to principles. I've taught you here in Koinonia, that honor is the key for access. Every time a door closes over you, it was dishonor that closed that door, especially if it was once opened. Any door, I assure you by God, that once opened over your life and is now closed, dishonor closed it. Business doors, especially doors of help and support. There are many men of God who may never be allowed to minister in certain circles again, because even though they were anointed and gifted, dishonor shut that door towards them. Many of you, at one point or the other, you've had unusual access into the lives of people, especially great and noble people, spiritually, politically, and otherwise. But dishonor closed that door. What is dishonor? The trivializing, the demeaning, the downplaying of people's achievements, people's uniqueness, and people's value. When you trivialize, when you demean, when you downplay people, there are severe life-threatening consequences. I've taught you to practice honor. Honor is a powerful spiritual principle that will help you, will lift you, will bless you. I am a beneficiary of the law of honor. There are circles that ordinarily, outside of the grace of God upon my life, I should never be in those circles or enjoy those privileges. Not at this level of my life, moving at the natural human pace. But honor is an accelerator. It can fast track your destiny. Honor can bring you into the achievement of your 10 years later now. Is someone learning? Don't live a life and say, it's only God that I know, and dishonor everybody. No. There are people in this Abuja, there are people in this nation, it is within their power to lift and bless and help. But all the people around them who are in need of that help have perpetually communicated dishonor. To the point that there are even parents that willed, they wrote their will to house helps and other people, not their biological children, because of the level of dishonor. Please say, in the name of Jesus, I obtain grace to practice honor. Honor is powerful. There are people who never greet anyone. Once the person is not rich or wealthy, you don't greet them. Let me look for the rich people. That's parasitism, not honor. If it is genuine honor, it must be for all men. Because you see, the person who is already made, you've seen their end. But the person who is rising, you don't know how far they will rise. Some of you, after this service, you may need to call your loved ones or call people around who have perceived that you have communicated dishonor perpetually, and let them know that you love them and you honor them. There are men of God who will come and mount another man of God's pulpit and rubbish the ministry, rubbish what they are doing, downplay the work of the man, and share the grace. If you are that man of God, will you invite any other person like that to come on your pulpit? It is because of this fear of dishonor sometimes that men of God seem overprotective with their pulpit. Because they love the sheep so much, they don't want to bring people who sell a narrative that dishonor is marketable. Practice honor. Honor children. Honor your subordinates. Honor your contemporaries. Honor your superiors. Honor all men. Honor kings. And you will watch your life keep shining. Shining as a man of God. You see, for those in ministry, let me tell you, preaching is not the only thing that makes ministry ministry. Being anointed is not even the only thing that makes ministry ministry. Wait for part three. Part three is the power of systems and structures. I'm going to be sharing with you something powerful when we get to part three. The power of systems and structures. You cannot gain mastery if you do not understand systems and structures. Tonight we are just dealing with the laws that make for dominion. The law of honor. Two more, and then we'll pray. The law of favor is the next one. You know this. the law of favor. 1 Samuel 16, 20 to 22. 1 Samuel 16, 20 to 22. And Jesse took an ass, a laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son to Saul. We're reading to 22. 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Last verse, 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he had found favor in my sight. Favor is the number one reason people prosper. I recommend to you my teaching, this grace called favor. Listen to it. Listen to it again and again. I honestly submit to you, dear people of God, I don't know how people survive without the favor of God. You will never be able to rise in today's world without favor. What is favor? When God anoints people to participate in your success, when they provide the leverage of their credibility, their resources to help you rise. Listen to my teachings on favor. Believers, your life will be difficult and hard if you do not find favor. And as it is, you've heard me lovingly correct, just add this as a correction for as many who would care to know. There are many people who have taught that favor is unmerited access. That may be right, but not entirely right. Favor is very merited. There are dimensions of favor. The saving grace is what is unmerited. But believe me, favor is merited. You can initiate favor. Favor is a reaction. There is something you can do that will equal to favor. Proverbs 13:15. The Bible says, good understanding procureth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Hardship has an explanation. There are many men of God who love Jesus with all their hearts, anointed and preachers of righteousness, but this favor factor most do not have. There are families that do not have it. Some of you are seated here. The limitation, there are books within your spirit. There are visions that you have had. But to get to the nations, there's no favor. I will always tell people, it's easy to look at the Joshua Selmans and those who God has seemed to, by his mercy and grace, bring to the limelight and believe that these are the faces. There are many people even greater than us. But simply because they've not tapped into the other dimensions of the kingdom that gives them that visibility. Favor is powerful. Ask me. Favor is powerful. I've told you that who hates you does not matter, but who likes you matters. Listen. Ministers of the gospel, I assure you by God and with every sense of respect and regard, you are not going to run ministry just based on tithes and offerings. I assure you by God. One day you will collapse. Any man of God who wants to walk in integrity knows I'm not lying. Except you want to manipulate God's people. But if you want to do ministry with the dignity of kingdom integrity, you will need favor. You will need favor. I believe in the favor of God. I thank God that I learned it. I continue to learn the laws of favor. In addition to my loving Jesus and pressing into the things of the Spirit, serving the nations with this grace for revival and power, I know that I need the favor of God. Everybody say favor. Please, in 1 minute, as we prepare to take the last one, just lay your hands on your head again and say, Father, let favor begin to work for me. Pray from your heart. Believe me, you need it. Man of God, you may be watching online, you need it. Businessman, you need it. There are families here. It is this favor factor that you have not seen in your life. Spiritually, you are doing well. God has helped you and shown you mercy, but you need favor. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me give you the last one and then we'll wrap up for tonight. The last law
is the law of spiritual empowerment. The law of spiritual empowerment. I've given you about 9. These are the laws that you engage if you want to gain mastery and dominion in life. We started by discussing in part 1 and even today that life and living is spiritual. That means you need more than intellectual empowerment. You need an empowerment from heaven. Jesus himself, he said the Spirit of the Lord, the messianic prophecy, it was for him. In Luke chapter 4, when he came, he began to reiterate that same statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed, ordained, empowered me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. All of these things happen based on empowerment. Can I tell you, there are certain things that cannot be done by the strength of the flesh. It will take supernatural empowerment. And I've done teachings on this. Believers, some of you have not opened up your heart for empowerment because you have been taught that empowerment is for men of God, those in ministry, apostles, prophets, those who will heal the sick, those who will deal with demons. And since I am dealing with files or I am dealing with politics, I don't need empowerment. No, sir, you do. You do. You do. You need empowerment. It takes empowerment to rise. It takes empowerment to ward off the forces of darkness that come to fight the purposes of God in your life. Man of God, it takes empowerment to allow that which God has given you go to the nations unhindered. I believe in spiritual empowerment. I have taught it all the days of my ministerial life. This is what I represent, among many other things, to the body of Christ. The possibility that men can be empowered and that their lives can become an unending manifestation of the power of God. I have seen what the anointing can do. I have seen what the power of God can do. You are truly a blessing when you are empowered. You came here tonight desiring to learn, desiring to grow. You came here tonight for someone because you've been asking questions in your life. Lord, I love you and I desire to know you. But is there a way I can have a consolation to my Christian experience? For someone, you came here tonight wondering, why do I enjoy victory and yet my victory is short-lived? Why do I enjoy results and then as soon as I'm celebrating, I go back again? You are in need of mastery. Your results are random. You need to get to a point where you begin to walk in an uncanny level of mastery. He says, he that strives for mastery is not crowned except and unless he strives lawfully. The law, the sacrifice of total surrender, the law of mental transformation, the law of value and contribution, the law of authority and submission, the law of faith, the law of relationships, the law of honor, the law of favor, the law of spiritual empowerment. There may be a few other laws that I'll be teaching you, but I give you a guarantee. Hold these laws like keys, and you can move through life, opening door after door, layer of success and victory after another. This is what God desires for us to do. And remember, I have told you that your results matter for the kingdom, because it is in your excelling that the name of the Lord is glorified. And God wants every one of us to excel. Is someone ready to pray tonight? You're going to pray and ask the Lord for grace. Lord, I am tired of shadow boxing my Christian experience. I'm tired of guessing, trial and error. Now I've been born again, say for 10, 20 years. But I have not been able to put together the spiritual principles that help me reveal and glorify you. Now you have taught me. I obtain grace. Someone pray. Lift your voice in 1 minute and pray. For just a minute or two, please make sure you focus on Jesus and pray. Of all these spiritual principles and these laws that I've taught you,
You know the ones that are not yet at work in your life. Obtain grace from God. For some of you, you are neglecting the law of relationships. For some of you, you have not accessed the favor of God. For some of you, dishonor has closed doors for you. For some of you, you have not even laid down everything. There is no surrender in your life. For some of you, value and contribution. You have entertained mediocrity in your life, in ministry, in business, in career. It's time to come up hither. Someone is praying. One more minute. Are you crying to God? It's time, oh God, to blow me like a shofar to the nations. Prepare me. I strive for mastery. Hallelujah. Listen. One of the advantages of being a master or striving for mastery is that you redeem time. Every time you fail an exam, they either dismiss you from that system or you recycle time again. Is that true? Sometimes that time can be as much as 1 year. Lack of mastery will make a journey of 40 days to become 40 years. Someone is praying. One last prayer. Father, let my mastery of these spiritual laws bring efficiency to my spiritual life. Go ahead and pray. In that which you have called me to do, those who have gone ahead of us have shown us that these are the keys. In the name of Jesus Christ, let me pray for you as we wrap up tonight's service. Father, I thank you for the privilege again that you have granted unto us to bring your word. Many within this place and so many more following and connecting from their homes. You have spoken to us tonight on these spiritual laws. These are the laws that help men to gain mastery in life and destiny. I pray in the name of Jesus that for every one person here who is yet to gain and lay hold of these spiritual principles, the grace to do so is released upon you. In the name of Jesus. I pray for the diligence to understand and master these laws, and that as you engage them, your life will be nothing short of a sign and a wonder. Where you have been down, may these laws lift you up. In the name of Jesus. And where you have not been able to bear much fruit that brings glory to the name of the Lord, may these laws accelerate your results. In the name of Jesus. Can I tell you this? Please look up. For many of you, I submit to you, and I'm saying this primarily to the house here, but it extends to as many who will be interested. If I were you, I would shut down on many, many nonsense I'm trying to learn as far as becoming successful is concerned, and deal with these things first. Pick them one by one. For some of you, God has brought acceleration. He has reduced your shadow boxing of 10, 20 years. Go back and look at them. I've been trying to make ministry work. I've been trying to make my destiny work. Ah, this is it. Holy Spirit, open my eyes the more. All of these laws, I've taught them in details. Listen to them one by one and learn them. And you will come and stand here week after week testifying to the point that you will even think we'll be angry with you because your face is too frequent. Because there will be no week without a notable testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and give him thanks for tonight's service. Hallelujah. Part 3. We're going to discuss, I'll be teaching you next week, please don't miss it, the power of systems and structures. Striving for Mastery Part 3 will be the power of systems and structures. Many of you will be learning something that will transform your life forever. Please keep standing. Let me quickly make the altar call and then we'll wrap up. We will never fail to make an altar call here for as long as God grants us the privilege to gather. May I plead with us to please minimize movement just for a minute and we'll be done. I know that most people may try to rush so that they get vehicles and the rest. Just be patient. Let's honor all who need to make a decision. Every time God gathers us like this, it is because there is someone who comes in the midst of God's people who needs Jesus. And I believe tonight is no different. There's someone, you are here, you are saying, Apostle, I need Jesus in my life. And for another, you are saying, Apostle, I remember giving my heart to Jesus, but I need restoration. If you belong to any of these categories, inside, all the overflows, outside, may I request that you come and stand here very quickly. We have just 1 minute for you. Please boldly leave your seat and come. God bless you. Let's celebrate them as they come.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Keep coming.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turn.
Please, if you're joining them, hurry up so that we pray for you. We love you. Jesus brought you here to give you a new beginning. Come, come. Apostle, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Can I join them? Absolutely. You're most welcome. There is something called the assurance of salvation. You can know that if the trumpet sounds today, for you it will be that your decision has given you the authorization to be with Jesus even forever. God bless you. Thank you so much for those of you who are in front and then all the overflows. And for those who are following by way of television, you can make this decision right now, right where you are. Jesus is with you. Please may I request those in front, can you lift your right hand high above your head and say this prayer after me. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus as my Savior. I receive Jesus as my Lord. I receive Jesus as my King. The power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight and forever, I am a child of God, saved. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these precious people. The Bible declares that as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. They have come because they believe in you. By the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. And I pray that my God gives you a new beginning from tonight. The power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. You walk in newness of life and you walk in righteousness. You go from glory to glory and from grace to grace. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please may I request just for a moment that you move to my right, which is your left. There will be a few counselors who will just have a word with you very briefly, and then you'll be back to your seat. God bless you, darling. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate them as they go. Thank you. Hallelujah. May this week be full of divine surprises for you. Everything that has refused to walk in your life, we force it to walk this week. In the name of Jesus. And particularly for those of you that the word came for over things like death and the rest, I declare that this prophetic declaration over your life acts as a shield against every onslaught of darkness.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Your spiritual life will not go down. Your prayer life will not go down. Your passion for God will not go down. Keep going from glory to glory. In Jesus' name I pray. May I encourage you that next week, I've been sensitizing us again that every time you come to the house of God, make sure that you do not come alone. There has to be someone who needs Jesus, who need encounters with his life and power. So do well to extend invitations for all around you in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and thank you. See you next week.